This episode is brought to you by our generous sponsor, Cobalt Press. Tales of the Old Margreave, a 5e adventure that takes you deep in an ancient magical forest with new spells, monsters, magic items, and wondrous locations. Contained within this dragon's hoard of material, you will find a collection of 12 adventures for heroes level 1 to 10, and over 200 pages full of blood and thorns, vengeful dragons, and secrets of the forest. Head on over to critacademy.com/cobaltpress and get your copy of Tales of Old Margreave today. Hello and welcome, heroes, to the Crit Academy. I am your host, Justin.
I'm your co-host, Brandon. And hey, Ian, good job on the gender change.
You're looking fantastic.
I do my best. It's amazing what new hair will do.
Holy hell.
Welcome, Alicia.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us. The God King's wife.
Yeah, this is the God Queen, the Conquest yes. Paladin, the Conqueror.
Ruler of all. Without me, this podcast wouldn't exist.
The employer.
Yes, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Ian is not here because he is at Dragon Con. So if you're there watching us, why are you not having fun at Dragon Con?
That's Wizard weird. Kadia says, can we keep the new Ian?
Definitely a hotter face.
Well, wait till I start talking about the D&D stuff. You might not enjoy it so much.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Shit, you threw my groove off.
That's my job.
You threw off my groove.
This podcast was created to provide you, our heroes, with new and reusable material for both players and DMs.
We hope to inspire you with creative content that you can bring with you on your next adventure.
Our show may not be suitable for young children, but neither are our D&D games. What the fuck, guys?
You didn't tell me this was an interactive
job. Can you tell they're married?
Oh, God. All right. So we got a really exciting episode for you guys today.
No, you didn't say the part about the roles.
We're not... Literally, I've been doing this for 138 episodes. Just let me do my shit.
You told me to read.
We got a really great episode for you guys today. We're doing a special episode since Ian's not here. We're going to do a mailbag episode.
Mailbag.
We're gonna answer some questions and stuff. But like always, we're still going to give away Fat Loot.
Compliments. You're welcome.
Of Loresmith.
This episode is brought to you by our generous sponsor.
That is the wrong button. What the fucking button is it?
I thought you knew what you were doing. You've been doing this for 139 episodes.
It's Goblin Stone.
Each episode, we will draw one lucky subscriber.
Oh my God.
And they will win the 5-star rated adventure.
This is not a
Banquet
good day.
Of the Damned. Compliments of Goblin Stone. Goblin Stone is a community project for D&D fans based out of the UK. They aim to be a place where you can team up with professionals to turn your ideas into high-quality products and give every fan a chance to get published. Be sure to head over to www.goblinstone.com or you can check out our fellowship link on our website.
Motherfucker!
www.critacademy.com.
I told you guys not to sniff that powder.
Brandon, what is on your, who's our,
oh, God, dude.
Who's our winner today?
Our winner today is Shannon Barniscus.
It's went to our Dark Crystal Marathon.
Sorry.
We're more important than that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, I want my points back, man.
What happened?
You gained by being pretty.
I lost points for being efficient and missing my cue.
And he says you get them back by being pretty.
Aw. Congratulations, Shannon. If you enjoy the adventure, please leave Goblinstone a review. Thank you guys for joining us here today at Crit Academy Studios, where everything's made up and your roles don't matter.
Yep, that's right. Your roles are like a mailbox with no mail.
When you're an adult, that's a good thing.
Right? Not when you walk 100 feet down the driveway in the rain and there's nothing there.
I'd rather do that than not get bills.
Say it again. I got a better line.
Thanks for joining us today here at Crit Academy Studios, where everything's made up and your roles are on rewind.
Yep, that's right. Your roles are like a mailbox that's not a flamingo.
Oh my god.
See, that's where you play the crickets. Right there. Crickets!
Cricket, cricket.
Oh, motherfucker.
Cricket. God. You guys don't understand, their mailbox is a fucking flamingo.
It is. It really is. I've had to keep making new ones because people break them. Can't imagine why.
So, now on... So obviously we're following a little bit different format today. The show will be much shorter than normal. It's just normally we don't actually record on like holidays, but we decided we won't been wanting to do something like this for a while, so we decided to do it when Ian wasn't here.
Yeah, we got a WoW Classic to look forward to.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
We're right having now, a WoW party, and y'all are interrupting us.
Yeah, pretty much. Like there's all computers set up just off screen here that you can't see. We're playing World of Warcraft, a bunch of druggies. It's an addiction. Again.
No, today's not a holiday, but tomorrow is.
Tomorrow is.
Holiday weekend.
It counts. What are you giggling about?
Troy.
He's leaning into our shot. He's literally right there. I actually made him move a little bit to get off the screen for the show. All right, so we're going to get the show on the road because it's 10 after and we haven't started yet. So once again, we're doing a mailbag episode. So we got some stuff that has been sent to us over the years that has not been included on the show at all. And I want to kind of talk about some of it. Some of them are submissions.
You want to brag about how awesome people think you are?
Well, that might be part of it.
I got to take the second one. That's funny.
What's that? Oh, okay.
The one I pointed
out before. So this is a message from Monty Fromage. Part of your fun of the show is your goofiness, the jokes, the voices, and the digressions. They're all amusing. It also makes the podcast feel more relaxed and approachable. There are moments I would forget I am listening to a podcast and try to verbally chime in because it feels like I'm sitting at a table with friends and shooting the breeze.
Yes, that's very good.
Now, honestly, the show didn't start out this way.
No, it didn't.
But that actually is one of the directions that I wanted to go. I would say probably about 15 to 20 episodes in, we started to kind of move that way. And then the longer we got, the less work I wanted to do editing. So it just became more relaxed
so
in
really
general.
You just got lazy.
Yeah.
The show's been the same. You were just cutting out the good stuff before.
I think we even made an episode zero where it says, hey, thanks for choosing our podcast. By the way, episodes 1 through 15 are shit, so just keep going.
I don't think that's what we said.
It's not like that.
That actually, episode will probably be releasing in October.
Yep, in the time that I will be off. I don't know if I should save that for later or not.
Stay tuned after the show for a special message.
Yeah. Let's do that. Thank you, Monty Fromage. Once again, we're trying to go for that lounging, hanging out with your friends, chit-chatting
kind
of format.
Are you sure
it's
not fromage?
I don't fucking know.
I think it's Monty from age.
From what?
Monty from age.
I don't care.
Omelette du fromage.
Why can't people have normal names around here? So thank you for that, and hopefully everyone else likes that format as well. We want to be a comfortable hanging out sort of podcast.
Yeah, we really do.
And I know that, you know, Alicia recently started listening, and I feel like, would you agree it kind of is no different than when we're just hanging out, my friends come over and we sit and talk? I mean,
mostly I listen so that I can hear things that you don't want me to hear and get you in trouble.
Yes. Chuckle says, I can't stand it. Dick.
Because you sometimes forget that you make me listen to your show in the car, and you say things, and then when I'm listening to your show, you realize you've admitted something.
You should have seen the look she gave me when I called her a conquest paladin.
Your heart's going sitting there going, thum, 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 thum. Did she hear that? And she's looking at you with that death stare. I'm going to murder you.
What's the next one there,
I know
Brandon?
Where you live, 2 feet from me. The next message came from... Shit. Oh.
What'd you do?
His thing's dying too, just like mine.
So is my phone.
It's because it's not plugged in, because all the computers are plugged in.
Yeah. Next message comes from SheenRL0119. And it's a simple, four-worded message to all of us. Be nicer to Ian.
No. Not at all.
That's why I'm here, because they couldn't be nicer to Ian.
And he left.
I try to be nicer to Ian. I mean, that fucker went to DragonCon.
He left us behind.
That's my fault for not giving you that sort of freedom.
Yeah, well, and it costs money, and I don't have any because we just got an expansion on the house. That's fun. This one comes from Paha Etote Play. Burrito at Play. I think it's Burrito at Play. I want to do a cross stitch of your logo so bad.
Oh, if you reply to this with an okay, I will.
Yeah.
Yes, you can.
Yeah,
I allow it. Send pictures, all that jazz. That's really cool. The fact that you want to make something about us is just fantastic. That really means a lot to us because it's a lot of work that we go into that we do that goes into the show. And by we, I mean me. These fools just show up and take credit.
What? I am your executive producer and accountant.
You do more work than they do, honey. she's behind the scenes.
This episode was my idea.
Yeah, you wouldn't have an episode right now if it wasn't for her.
So. Yeah, I don't do too much work, but I mean, how good the podcast be if Ian and I were not here?
I don't think anyone would just watch Justin here.
I would find other people.
Hours.
I would give Troy some money to jump on for 2 hours every week.
You think he's going to drive up here 2 hours?
What?
Wait, that was an option?
No.
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 I said no before.
Well, yeah, because they're getting paid now. That's how it works.
Sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. Well, I guess profits true, that we don't spend.
On that note, if you want to be a patron and you're not currently a patron, Brandon's pocketbook would appreciate it.
Chuckle says, who are we voting off?
Justin. I bet if you asked Austin, he would take it in a heartbeat.
Am I getting paid for this?
What? No. You get the pleasure of being married to me.
You got a new room.
Yeah, you literally have an expansion. Actually, that's more for me.
That's not for me.
That's more for me, actually.
Fucking VR.
Yeah. Anyways. Alicia, do you want to take the next one?
You gave me a long one.
Do you want me to take it and then give you a short one?
Gene McAllister, 1975, says, really enjoy the show.
Thank you.
Enjoyed greatly your recent role-playing episode. What is that in there?
I don't know.
What question? I enjoyed your recent role-playing episode. what the fuck is
with
that?
With the undead beholder and the possessed ? Doll, I don't understand.
I don't know.
I'm just going to leave that part out.
Okay.
And start over.
Okay. You don't have to restart during
really
the live
enjoyed
show.
It'll make it easier for you to edit later. Really enjoyed the show. Enjoyed greatly your recent role-playing episode with the undead beholder and the possessed doll. Really appreciate the details you provide on character analysis, classes, general role-playing techniques, etc. Would love to hear a show about character creation and the benefits of certain racial bonuses, etc. Would love to hear more episodes with role-playing and wives that knock on doors on cue. Would love to know your take on Pathfinder and what the differences are between it and D&D. Great show. Thanks and keep up the good work.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
When I knocked on the door
and scared the piss out of them.
Yeah,
this was so. Some of these things are really old. They didn't end up in the show for whatever reason. But two things. First of all, we haven't actually done a character creation episode. We've talked through the features and the abilities and all that stuff, but I don't think we've actually sat down and recorded a step by step walkthrough of character creation. That's something we should consider doing. Because there's probably some people that have that same question. Now, this is a year old, I think. But that's something that we probably could do. I've never made one online and showed it. But
have you had other wives knock on your doors?
Well, you know.
Because it says it in plural.
Yeah, well, I have more than one, so.
I don't feel like you have the money to support that hobby.
Or the attention span. I could barely give you enough attention. it says he would like to know our take on Pathfinder and D&D and what are our difference between them.
Isn't Pathfinder just 3.5?
Yes. It's pretty much.
So there's not a difference.
There is. That's not wrong.
One is
right
filled
at all.
With people that don't like change.
That is true.
Live in the past.
That is very true. That's savage. So. So they're
don't be offended. I really don't play either one. So.
Yeah. So Pathfinder is very rules heavy and is very mechanic heavy. So because of that, though, and it's been around for a long time, you have a lot more customization, I would say. Because it has more customization, the number of character builds and options are nearly limitless, which is why some people prefer it over 5e.
Yeah, just ask Troy.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't like Pathfinder, but he loves 4th edition.
He loves making characters.
That's true. So in Pathfinder, I think what makes it really cool is that the customization. But I also, unfortunately, because there's so many customized options, if you don't fully plan out your character ahead of time, you can end up with a real shitter. and you won't know until you're several levels in before you realize your character's complete shit and garbage. So I don't like that. I like to build as I go, not plan out my entire character out in advance like Troy. Like, have 1 through 20 all planned out and never get past 3. But Pathfinder is really good for that. Like I said, and the Pathfinder Society is pretty cool. It's a public campaigning thing that they do, kind of like Adventures League. D&D 5e is very streamlined and is much more inclusive for new players, because I'm gonna be honest, to learn Pathfinder you need like 3 days of training, followed by a big exam and a written and practice exam to actually learn Pathfinder. And D&D you can just show up. So really, that's, to me, that's the biggest differences. It doesn't have as many options, but in the end, it's designed in a way that you can reflavor whatever you want and still play the mechanics of the game.
So is 5e like gun laws in America and 3.5 Pathfinder like gun laws in countries with sense?
I don't think so. Nice try.
It was a good joke. You didn't get it.
Am I the only one that didn't get that?
So Tater, Troy is playing games and Brandon is watching him. That's true. The roof is on fire. We don't need any water. Let Justin burn on the stream. I'd love to be part of a Twitch fail episode on YouTube sometime.
I'm already getting compliments. One little spark said that she loves how frank I am.
And one little spark, Brandon rather be playing than recording. That's true, too.
I appreciate the compliment.
Okay, so I hope
my frankness has not always served me well.
Guys,
in my
the chat's
work.
Going nuts tonight. We need to settle the fuck down.
And if you guys have any questions, now's the time to ask. If there's anything you want us to answer, we're following the chat. We're going
I'm trying to follow it.
We don't have a real topic.
But so our next question comes from rmaxwell7304. I have just recently started listening to your episodes and look forward to the next one. I can't remember where I seen the plug for your show on Facebook, but I can honestly say I love everything about it. Keep up the awesome work and help. You have helped me find ways of keeping my players' interest in the game. Thank you on so many damn levels.
I love how you totally replaced a word in that and didn't even notice.
I do that all the time.
He does that a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, hey, thanks. That's what the show's about.
Yeah. Brandon, you want to take the next one?
Danny Watt 2. Danny Watt. Why is that funny? Okay. Danny Watt 2. Does your group keep track of things like food and water, carrying capacity, and cost of living? How do you feel about it? Well,
no.
I'm tracking it somewhat. Yeah. There are certain things I just don't really give a shit about.
I don't, but that depends on the nature of the campaign I'm running. If I'm running a survival campaign, you bet your ass we're tracking that shit. Because that's what makes it survival. If you can just say everyone has all the food and water that they need, it's not very life-threatening. When I put them out in the middle of a desert, you better bet your ass I'm tracking how much gallons of water they consume and how much they have, because that's going to be important when they walk into the middle of a desert. But carrying capacity only when they try to grab giant statues and, you know, walk around with them.
What about when I tried to pick up that dead body? You didn't ask how big my bag was.
Because you are an orc, and orcs are designed to carry dead corpses.
And Chuckles, we're having a WoW party right now.
Yeah.
You guys are interrupting it, so feel free to join us after the show.
Yes. That's funny. He's actually, Troy's trying to catch up right now.
And Chuckles actually said, we're doing a WoW game for the next patron game.
I'll talk about that.
He played with us the other day, didn't he?
No, he means like, he sent me a link to a WoW supplement. For D&D.
Okay.
So I actually haven't got a chance to read that, so I make no promises, but I would love to do that.
I thought he was referring to the actual game. We're on there. Yeah. And it's like, okay, so I see a harpy. All right, do an attack roll. I rolled a 2. All right, run up there and let her hit you.
Chuckle says, how many drinks did you feed Justin before the show? I've drank a lot tonight, but none of it's alcoholic, so... Tater says, forget Justin, he don't drink. I needed 150 ounces to get through this.
He's just waiting for his email to come up.
That's funny. So I don't really track any of that stuff, to be honest. Cost of living, what the fuck for? Literally adds no value to the game, in my opinion. Have you ever been in a game where that would be relevant?
Relevant?
Relevant, yes, that's the right word.
Not really.
Yeah, me neither. But once again, I think that depends on the game you're running. If you want it to be important, then run a game where it's important.
I mean, if you want to kill everyone because they ran out of food and water and forgot about it, but what's the point of that?
They're just going to be pissed. I said I was doing this. No, you didn't. You didn't say you were going fishing. You didn't say you were going scavenging. Whatever.
Maybe then they all die and turn into zombies.
Alicia, do you want to take this next one?
Whitney Angelo says, you are one of my favorite podcasts. Top three of 20 to 25 other podcasts on my feed. I think I have a problem.
Blink your face.
I can say that as a consumer of podcasts for at least 5 years now, I just got into D&D this year, and I've easily devoured all of your content, and I'm always jazzed when I see your episodes in my feed. Keep on keeping on, and don't be a dick. Haha, just kidding. You guys rock.
Just kidding, so I can be a dick.
Well, I'm glad, Whitney, that we can allow you to devour us. I hope that you enjoy it.
Are you sad that you're not number one?
Yeah, really.
Are you going to ask Whitney what you can do to be number one?
No, I want Whitney, which are your top two? Or what is your number, your other two? Who do we rate with?
You're right with someone else and Critical Role. It's like, oh, well, we're never getting top one.
And Troy says, I played a game where they tracked that, but it didn't really add any value. Yep. That's pretty much the experience I had.
Oh, my God.
Chuckles.
Why? The show's not suitable for young children. Speaking of, our daughter said, don't be a dick, Daddy, the other day.
Oh, no. Our show may not be suitable for young children.
I said that at work the other day.
Don't be a dick?
Yeah, they were shocked that I say such words.
Yeah, she doesn't swear ever, but she doesn't consider dick a swear word. Right?
Wow.
Well, swear words are only the words that were swear words when I was a kid.
Okay, and dick wasn't on there, huh?
Nobody in my house said dick.
That makes it clear, I guess. Perfect rationale. David Bowers Jr. says, it would be nice to have some focus on beginners for your show. Noobs to the game and teaching mechanics. Your show assumes everyone listening is experienced with game terminology. I didn't feel like the first few episodes were like that, but is that true? Anybody else feel that way?
I thought the first few episodes was like an actual beginner's run course.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. But
I often don't know what you're talking about. But I didn't listen to the first 137
episodes.
That's true. David Barrows JR Jr. Why don't you send us another email telling us what you think we should talk about for beginners?
Yeah.
Well, maybe he didn't listen at the first, because you always say how the first few episodes weren't that great. So maybe he started at a higher one.
He's like, man, that's hard to listen to. Maybe. We will do better. We can be better.
You do have a tendency to talk in a lot of jargon instead of layman's terms.
What the fuck is jargon?
You picked a word that's too big for him. So we have a policy on the show. Me and Ian have agreed to not use words that are too complex for Brandon.
Jargon, in fact, means complex words specific to certain things.
There you go.
I understand maybe four of those words.
I will try to do better, I suppose. I guess I can't.
Thanks,
do
Mark.
Much
that makes
that.
More sense.
What's that?
She says it means slang.
Mm.
Couldn't you guys just say that?
Not slang. Jargon is scientifically words, right? Slang is like ghetto, isn't it?
Like professional jargon. Slang or like ghetto. Engineering jargon. It would be specific to that industry.
Mm. I will try to do better. Brandon, you want to take the next one there?
This comes from Sandra Dahl, 81. How do you handle player death?
Kill my players. Oh, I think you fixed it. So I don't kill my players, but when I do kill their characters, happily. And with a smile upon my face. This is an interesting one. Brandon, have you ever killed anybody?
I killed you.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to tell people about that?
Okay.
Did we do that on the show yet? I don't recall.
I don't think we actually talked about it, like, in depth.
So how did you handle my player character death?
Well, should I tell them how he died or what the spiel actually was?
No, just how he died.
How he died. Okay.
I don't even know how it's connected to the story or anything like that.
Okay, so he's playing a character who lies all the time through his teeth, and he's got a very high deception, so he's very good at it. And I've been trying to figure out a way to kill his character off for specific reasons. And I'm thinking, okay, how am I going to do this if he lies all the time and almost always gets away with it? So him and the party had just finished through a fight, and these guards at Waterdeep walked up to them, and the captain looked to him, recognized him, and instead of saying, "You're under arrest," or something like that, they praised him as being this almighty, awesome gnome. What
Duke
were you?
Or something.
Yeah, something like that. Something to make him go,
one of my fake personas, basically.
Yeah, something to boost his ego to make him drop his guard. And four guards came up behind him, kneeled, and he thought he was getting the special royal treatment. And the captain came up with a crown and placed it upon his head as a gift. And the crown was a magic item that casts Zone of Truth.
And, yeah, guess what happens when a liar has to tell the truth?
And not only that, but if he tries to take it off, it causes piercing damage, a lot of it.
Like the Passion of the Christ shit.
Yeah, there were serrated blades on the inside that were pointing upwards, so if you try to take it off, you slash apart your skull. But the four guards grabbed him, held him down. They asked him all these questions like, "Oh, hey, did you sell military secrets? Did you do treason?" And he's like, "Yep." So,
damn it.
Three of the guards flogged him. He turned into a bear. They flogged him some more. And he said, "Change back. We're going to keep going." He turned back into a gnome. They brought him over to a puddle, said, "Reflect upon yourself." There you go. Nope, that's volume. There. He dragged his character over to a puddle and said, "Reflect upon yourself." He looked down in there, and as he looked down in there, I said, "Give a dex save." He failed, and he attempted to drown him.
Yeah, they shoved my face in the pool.
Yeah, he stepped on his head and put him in a 2-foot puddle to try and drown him right there. So he turned into a fucking spider, started running off, and he avoided every foot that came down upon him except for the last one. He hit 0 HP, and I, what was that called? Hardy Cardi or something?
Coup de grace.
Yeah, he was just sleeping, and they pierced his skull with a spear, and that was it.
Yeah, so...
Which was bullshit, because here's a player tip I think we need to do. If you're planning on killing a character, don't level them up before you kill him. Because he didn't have wild shape before then. He said, "Hey, everyone, go ahead and go to level 2. I went to go start killing him and all this stuff. He's like, "I'm going to turn into a bear." I went, "Fuck, I forgot he gets that at level 2. I knew he was going to make this hard.
So how do you handle death? Plan ahead.
Yeah. Or have an entire group of guards that can flog you to death. It was a pretty harsh. I actually think this is more pretty harsh.
Horsh.
Oh.
Pretty harsh. Ironically, I think this is more asking, how do you approach it without pissing off your players? Kind of how I take this. So,
if your players get pissed off at dying, then they need to go.
Well.
Or you can set them aside and tell them, "Hey, there's consequences for your actions."
That's it. So I don't intentionally generally kill off a character.
Even though I recommend he does very often.
Yes. When they
when he's complaining about an actual person in his campaign, I just tell him a lightning bolt will solve that. He's yet to take my advice.
Anyways, so when it comes to character death, I think that, A, it's going to happen and it's inevitable. I personally don't have a problem killing characters. I truly believe in consequences. Sure, you want to stab your buddy? You want to do PvP? Go ahead. All he's got to do is turn to a magistrate, call him, and you'll end up in prison and chained and flogged to death. You want to stab a local merchant or that caught you trying to steal from him? Sure, go ahead. Your wanted posters are going to be everywhere. And you're going to have to deal with that. Me, I don't care if you die. I'm not afraid to throw strong monsters at you that are out of your league, because you always have options available outside of stabbing them as a way to deal with an encounter. And I make it my responsibility to ensure that you actually know how strong they are and that they are stronger than you, so that you can run away if you want. I mean, and the consequences are always just so much fun, as one little spark says. It just is more fun to punish them for their actions.
What? Chuckles, we don't talk about that on the show anymore.
What's that? Whips and nay-nays? I know Troy loves that.
In reality, if you really truly love D&D, then we all know you have 50 other characters in your backpack waiting to come out, so death should just be an opportunity to play one of your other babies.
Yeah, I almost killed him again last game.
Yeah, you did.
And I just might do it next game, I don't know.
Death is a part of the game, especially at low levels. Get used to it. Don't be pussies.
Open your doors with Mage Hand.
Motherfucker. One last tip on that. I would say at session zero, make sure that you tell your team, your players, that death is an inevitability. It's up to them when that comes, though.
It's the only thing certain in life besides taxes.
Yeah.
Are there taxes in D&D?
There should be. Okay, yeah. If you're not using it, you're not doing it right.
You guys just got a house.
Yeah.
I guess you got to pay.
Taxes. Somebody going to show up. Where's your tax money, bitches? You are not prepared.
Baby Tate.
Our next question comes from New York Tater. Now, this was sent 2 years ago, and he actually didn't remember sending it. So...
What?
This is pretty long-winded because Tater is long-winded. so bear with me as I read through this old man's rant.
He's wise. Okay, fine. I can feel the daggers coming out of your eyes. It hurts.
Are you referring to other people as old because it makes you feel less old?
Absolutely. Greetings. Oh, I got to do this in my best Tater voice. Greetings. Thank you for the wonderful surprise this morning as I exited the subway, heading to the office and hearing my name as the winner of Banquet of the Dam by Goblinstone. You did get my name correct. However, it has nothing to do with potatoes in New York. I don't even remember that. My last name is Tate and have been called Tater because my personality and sense of humor is a bit half-baked.
There's no half written in there.
Why do you do that?
Well, you know.
Is a bit baked. My son is known as Tater Tot, but that's because I married a Poe. And then in parentheses it says Tater, so Poe Tater. Just a little bit about my D&D background that I didn't actually ask about. I actually haven't played since 1991 to 92 while I was living in the dorms during my first duty station in the Air Force. I have started looking at getting back into it after having discussion with the local bartender where he spends most of his time and considered hosting the game at the bar to maybe increase business on the slow days. So I dug out my copy of the D&D Cyclopedia, which is still in great condition, probably because he didn't have anybody to play with.
Aww.
And also Dragon Quest board game, missing the box and mini. But everything else is in good condition once again. Why even include that? And after reading through them, I decided to put together a homebrew and kick off session zero and bring the Dragon Quest into the world that resembles my neighborhood. Of all the places you can go into a fantasy world, you choose your neighborhood? You must really...
Maybe he's got a really cool neighborhood.
I guess. New York's just tall skyscrapers and shit, but okay. Okay. The focus is going to be for brand new players to introduce them into the game and eventually move to 5e. Why wouldn't you just start in 5e? Or is that if you get...
Because people don't like change and you have to ease them into it.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. Because of that, I have started listening to podcasts and happily discovered yours. It took me just over 2 weeks to listen to all of your episodes in order, and I am fully caught up. Well, thank you, Tate.
If this was 2 years ago, there wasn't that many episodes.
That's probably true. I don't. I just know it's from 2017. I really enjoy the format and topics covered. I think the audio is well done and hope that you will eventually take to recording on Twitch. Hi, Twitch.
Foreshadowing.
Keep up the good work and know that I greatly appreciate you doing this. Thank you for all you're doing. That was the last time I got a compliment from New York Tater.
Because he became a patron. He's like, oh, look, I can fuck with them live.
Every month.
He was a prophet. All hail New York Tater.
He has now been a great supporter of the show, goes to almost all the patron pals, and supports our show in a monetary format. So I just want to take a moment to say thank you, Tater, for all your support. Your jokes are terrible. But
just like yours.
I don't need to be reminded that he's a little too much like me. But we appreciate you, and you're an awesome fan, and thank you so much for everything. That being said, what the hell is Dragon Quest? And... why did you include missing a box of minis? Yeah, I don't know what that is. Y'all looking at me like I'm an alien. I think I just lost some friends.
The fact that you don't know that must mean that you're a horrible person and don't really know anything about the history of Dungeons and Dragons.
I don't even know. Are they related?
I don't know. Google it.
Dungeon Quest was like one of the first JRPGs. Like,
Dungeon Quest was one of the first JRPGs, I'm told, by Troy. He's our rules lawyer, if you've heard of this, like, on the show. There he is right there. He's the one I turn to when I don't know a rule, which is a little too often than I'd like to admit. So, so we're glad you discovered the show to New York Tater, and we cannot wait to hang out with you at ArcadeCon in November. If you're not going to that, you should. It's going to be dope as hell. Alicia, do you want to take the next one there?
Engine Soul says, I know you like to add description and flavor to characters and their abilities.
Yeah, no shit.
Do you think flavor can go too far if it does not change game mechanics? An example could be a spellcaster flavored as a user of steampunk or science, jetpack, laser pistol, etc.
Do I think that? No.
No.
I don't, and I'll tell you why. Because if that character is the only person like that, they could easily be the inventor of it, the creator of it. It could be... maybe you treat it like a laser pistol, but it's just a form of science or you know, what is it they say in Thor that what is the line? Magic,
sufficiently advanced magic, or sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic.
Yes, so there you guys can hear. Troy, once again, my rules guy, always knows fucking everything. He says sufficiently advanced science is...
Sufficiently advanced technology.
Is indistinguishable from magic.
Yeah.
To lesser people, I guess. I don't think it could be too much. I think that it really comes down to you as the DM if you want to limit that yourself. But I don't... personally do that, because if the player is the only person that can do something like that, imagine the type of role play that would come from that. What if that player that developed a quote-unquote jetpack or the laser pistol starts a whole new thing, right? They create an entire culture throughout their adventuring career, and you play in that world in the future and finds out that your character was the creator of the laser pistol because your last name was Laser, you know? Shit like that, to me, is just more opportunity to roleplay. And honestly, I'm not a stickler for all the rules as far as, like, the story lore, because it's my player's world as much as it's mine, and if they want to change it up a little bit, I usually don't have a problem with it. Now, I know not every DM is like that. Some people want a strict, it's fantasy-only fucker, and that's all you're getting, and that's okay, but
why
me personally...
Why play a game based on imagination if you're just going to crush people's dreams and imagination?
That deserves a golf clap. Golf clap? Golf clap.
I mean, that just doesn't make sense to me. Like, you let me be Shrek and Donkey, and I know you let me break rules, but it made the game funner for me.
And that was the goal, right?
So, don't be a dick.
Yeah, I told you, I was like, normally it doesn't work this way.
Well, you told me after you let me create the character, when we were actually starting to play, and then you're like, oh, by the way, your donkey can't talk. Like, you didn't think my donkey was going to talk when you let me create the character?
Well, it was with the Find Familiar spell. I said you can understand him, but he doesn't actually talk.
I don't know how that works.
I like the idea better. You think he talks, but you weren't going to have that. Brandon, what about you?
I just let the flavor fly.
Yeah.
It's just period. I know it's D&D, and, oh, there's no jetpacks, there's no laser guns, but, like, our gun mage... He carries a gun that shoots lasers. It's magic, but that's technically what it is.
Didn't you play a game for D&D where it was like space or something?
Ian did.
Starfinder.
No, you played it with Gabe, maybe?
I don't remember.
Or was it?
I did play a game with somebody long ago. Actually, Orokin's Lair, our buddy. He ran a different game that took place in a sci-fi game.
Oh, but you could basically take all the rules of D&D and apply them to any other world, right?
Isn't that Spelljammer?
I mean,
isn't that what Spelljammer
why
is?
Why does it have to be literally Dungeons and Dragons? Why can't it be spaceships and moon landings. I mean, would the rules not transfer? I mean, I guess it would be a little weird to have a space guy fighting next to, like, a knight from the olden days in the same world, but, you know, time travel.
Well, see, it does, you call it a knight, but it doesn't have to be a knight. Reflavored as a Jedi. Your knight is a Jedi knight.
Well, I was just saying, like, if one person in the game was trying to be this, like, space character, but everyone else in the game was, like, not. But then you could always just make it appear that everyone else thinks he's crazy, and that would add an interesting flavor.
Oh, that's awesome. He's, like, he's going crazy.
But maybe in the end, they're the crazy one. Oh,
that's savage there, New York Tater. The only donkey that talks on Crit Academy is Justin. Jesus. Okay. Yeah, so
that was funny because Troy wrote that quote up there.
Yep.
And indistinguishable.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long ass word, and it made me think of a different word. You know what the most ironic word in the dictionary is?
Quotidian.
I'm sorry. What?
Quotidian.
Quotidian.
Yep. Is that like four tits?
The fuck does that mean?
Quattro titty.
It means common or everyday.
Quotidian means common or everyday.
But yet the word itself is not common or well known.
That's hilarious and very ironic.
I was going to say
Totally just blasted away whatever bullshit he was going to say.
I was going to say abbreviation.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, that's a good one because it's long.
You have to abbreviate it.
Yeah. A brief. All right. moving on. Brandon, you want to take the next one there?
Let's see that. Yes. Carl comes from Carl Linsmeyer.
Carl!
I've binge listened to your podcast as well as Interparty Conflicts. Hey, so I don't remember if this was asked besides, I'm curious anyway. How do you handle critical roles? What are some other good ideas? My party, mostly newbies, and I agreed that for critical roles, a crit success would be automatic max damage. The fuck?
Thank you for the follow.
I can't
actually read that.
Oh, we got a follower.
Don't we get, like, dancing music for followers, too?
No, we haven't done that.
You probably should. Maybe you'd have more followers.
What is this, TGI Fridays?
Do they play music at TGI Fridays?
They sing Happy Birthday.
Yeah, so does Applebee's.
Oh, it was a $1 donation from Chuckles. Thank you.
See, that's even better. You have to play music for that.
And it's titled, Felt Like Doing This.
Thanks, Chuckles. And, your tablet died, so I can't do music.
That's okay. I got it.
Anyways, where are we? My party, mostly newbies, and I agree that for critical roles, a crit success would be automatic max damage, including all modifiers, etc. For critical fails, we re-roll a d20, and depending on the quality of the weapon, it would shatter. Below 10 for common, below 8 for rare, etc. Magic items don't shatter, but no matter what, the weapon is dropped, and they have to spend their next turn retrieving it or finding a new weapon. What are your thoughts? Like I said, we're a new party, so we're still tweaking and are open to suggestion. It's a great podcast. Thanks, Carl.
So I got a lot to say about this. First,
like everything else.
You're fucking savage today.
I'm always like this.
Okay, so no, I'm not giving you another strip tease.
I'll be right back. I gotta.
Okay. So my first thoughts on how do I handle critical roles? The only change I do is the current rule, for those of you that don't know, is you just roll double damage dice. I don't like that because I've been on the receiving end of several ones and my crits being complete shit. So I max the weapon damage and then let them roll the additional. So you're at least guaranteed like the maximum weapon die plus whatever extra you get. I don't do crit misses or anything like that because, and honestly, I didn't think about this at first, but honestly, I blame Gabe. God damn it, Gabe, it's your fault. That he made such a good point that I actually completely changed my viewpoint. I used to be all into the critical failures and critical misses, but the higher the melee class skills get, the more attacks they get, which means the more likely they are to roll ones. And so I now don't feel that a critical failure is necessary because you're already punishing them by missing. I don't create new opportunities or anything like that for failures. I don't do any of that because it's imbalanced for those characters who should be getting superior to it, not getting worse. That being said, sometimes I do take advantage to make sure funny things happen during it. So, you know, I've never had somebody hurt themselves or anything like that, but maybe the warrior's got four attacks and one of them's a one, so he's, you know, pushing the enemy back and he stumbles over a rock for a second and he completely whiffs the strike, something like that. For critical
flavors,
yes, nothing that will ever affect them mechanically, especially this bullshit where you stab yourself. I've had players in older editions where they've rolled ones and killed themselves. You kill yourself once?
No, but I rolled three consecutive ones once.
It probably pissed you off, didn't it?
I threw my weapon, I grabbed my crossbow back up, and then I shot myself.
Yeah, see, so that sort of shit just doesn't fly. Now, Wizardcadius says crit tables can make good comedy. I agree 100% with that, but I don't think that they have to be shoot yourself in the foot comedy. That being said, I don't encourage anything more than that. If you're going to, there are crit tables and crit cards and stuff like that you can go, but I don't do it. Now, as for the weapon breaking, I actually did do this. I created the +1, +2, and +3 in my game wasn't magical weapons. They were crafted weapons. So a standard commoner longsword was just a normal one, and if you rolled a 1 on an attack roll, you would then roll a confirm crit, and if you rolled under 7, it would break. And then if you crafted your +1, that was like a superior crafted weapon. So if you rolled a 1, you would roll a confirm and it would break on like a 4. And then you could get mastercrafted, which would only break on 2 ones, which was significantly didn't happen very often, but that was a +3 weapon. That I ended up dropping that mostly because I kind of seem like a dick if I explain this the wrong way. I ended up getting rid of it because it wasn't fair to the more attacking player, basically. The person who got multi-attack and they were breaking more weapons. But I enjoyed it because it made more sense that weapons wear over time and eventually they're going to break. And actually, we had an instance where it led to great roleplay. One of our buddies that played some time ago, he came and he swung a weapon and it broke. And he threw it away and got another one, and that one broke, and so he kept going through weapons, and then they had to use their money to buy new ones. So it does add some value, but I've kind of pulled away from the broken weapons. What somebody did recommend in its place when I first got rid of it was wearing weapons. So you put a cost in, and every time they come to town, they can pay to repair them. And if they don't, then eventually you get like negative bonuses to attacks and shit like that. I end up just scrapping that because honestly, 5e is meant to be simpler, and I didn't want to add all that shit to my game. So, Brandon, you have anything?
I like the idea of like dropping weapons and stuff like that. The breaking, I don't know. I don't know how I would handle that one.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think critical fails and role playing that does make for good comedy because I don't think I ever told Star fans about my tiefling with a backwards finger.
Do you want to tell them now? That was a critical fail. Yeah, sure. Fail. That was the last time I rolled a critical. I had a critical failure. But keep in mind, there was no mechanical disadvantage here. But man, it was funny.
No. Actually, it was 2 critical fails, one on my part and one on my wife's part because she was trying to heal me. We're trying to get through this door. It was a secret door in a brick wall, and the door moved, but it stopped. And I had the sailor background, so I was able to have a trinket, which was a mirror. So I peek in there, and I'm looking around. It's like, oh, there's stones in the cogs that move the door. So I reach in there, and I start flicking them out with my finger. And I'm doing this. Just says, all right, give me a deck save. Went, what? It's like the door's flying open because you just took all the stuff out. Well, oh, okay. So I threw a dex save. I rolled a 1. It's like, well, you just cut your finger off, which sucked because I was a bow user. And the finger fell to the ground, and my wife picked up, and she was using medicine to try and like stitch it back on, get it ready back to go again. And she rolled a 1. But instead of saying, oh, your finger can't get back on, you've lost it, he instead said, she successfully sewed your finger back on, and it will heal properly, except she sewed it on backwards. So now I'm, like, able to touch my knuckles with my pointer finger. That was a thing. So yes, a critical fail can be fun if you do it right.
But it doesn't have to be a mechanical disadvantage. I don't think you were ever punished for having a backwards finger, except for the one time you tried to point and pointed the wrong way.
I don't think that's how that works.
That's pretty fun. So yeah, obviously we're not super big on the critical failures, but if you are, they should purely be flavor. There are times where I've given mechanical advantages. Like one time one of my players' monks did like a Shuriken Ryu style uppercut to a spellcaster in the jaw, and he described I hit him in the jaw and he crit. So I went ahead and just said, you broke the character's jaw, and I took away any spells that required verbal components. He didn't ask me to do that. It was just something that to me felt like it made sense, you know, and I don't do that very often, because I gave him a mechanical advantage that then became an expectation. Oh, I'm going to punch him in the face again, and if I get a crit, it's going to silence him. No. So I use those very loosely, but that was his reward for going out of his way to do this massive description and then critting on it. So, anyways.
Side note. Why does it say, let's draw with Brandon?
Because I didn't fix it after I yelled at him to make sure he fixed it.
Way to go, you jackass.
Oh, shut up.
Someone did bring this up in the chat a little while ago, and I just remembered. And you asked, why do we look so small now? That's because the camera's pushed back because there's a table for computers.
Yeah, there's a desk for computers and stuff right here. I actually have a monitor tilted down so it's not in camera view.
Yeah.
We're partying it up.
Yeah.
Nerd style.
So it's normally much closer than it is. My bad. I blame Brandon.
Well, fuck you.
So,
shouldn't you really be blaming Olivia, Steven, and Troy? Because yeah, they're the ones at that table. We're over there.
Hey, he's not doing anything.
You're blaming yourself for creating the setup in the first place.
God damn it, dude. Shut up.
Shouldn't we really be blaming the contractors? Because this party was going to be in the house when it was finished, but it's not finished.
Yeah. Anyways, so before
three
we
weeks, it's been a long 9 weeks.
Before we move on to the next question, we have a gift to give away. Compliments of Loresmith, and yeah. I gotta find
the
audio.
It's Loresmith now. Thing.
Woo. Each episode, we will draw another lucky subscriber's name, and they will win the best-selling adventure, The Claws of Madness. Compliments of Loresmith. Loresmith is a small indie team of creative artists who remember exploring the realms together with friends, finding incredible places, and meeting colorful characters along the way. They set out to deliver an experience that sparks those lasting impressions that pushed them to create their first standalone adventure, The Claws of Madness. This best-selling adventure is one that you don't want to miss.
Before we continue, I gotta say, Wizard Cadius. Oh, it's on loop.
My bad.
Wizard Cadius says, Barbarian kicks door, goblin braces, fails, goblin paste.
That's funny. Brandon, who's our winner today? Actually, Alicia, who's Alicia's our winner turn. Today?
Mugent.
Like that's Ted Nugent?
That's offensive.
Mugent.
Is it really?
No.
Oh.
Or Mugent. But I think Mugent sounds better.
Okay, that's good enough.
Wow. You know, not only did you drop the ball, but it's not inflated anymore.
What the fuck? What the hell? I'm not on Facebook right at the moment, so I don't know. Congratulations, Mugent. If you enjoy the
Mugent.
Adventure. What the there's no... I don't
Mugent.
Care. Mugent. If you enjoy the adventure, please leave Loresmith a review. Brandon, if they would like to be entered to win cool prizes, how can they do so?
You can do so by subscribing to our show via our website at critacademy.com or subscribing on Twitch, YouTube, becoming a follower on Twitter and Facebook. We draw names randomly from all of our subscribers and you have chances to win awesome stuff.
There you go.
My phone's going to die.
All of our shows, our show notes, we actually have way more on here.
Is that
than
fake poop?
Bullets.
Oh.
Oh, that's the pepper bullet.
Yeah.
Bullet. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's they're chocolate bullets, but one of them has a chili pepper in it.
So you did. It's like Russian roulette with hot peppers. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So we actually have way more on here than we're going to have time to go through. So I'm just going to start picking a few of the really good ones.
I want to pick one. Grim Reaper says, what is your favorite wizard school and why? Necromancers, because necromancers are badass.
Hogwarts.
Necromancers? Is that like a red necromancer? Have you seen that? A red necromancer? Well, I gotta be honest. I really love your neck. It looks pretty.
Hey there, baby. You do look good. Let me res the priest and we can get married.
Mine is... I'm torn. I like divination and I like conjuration. I like conjuration because you've got... You basically have Batman's tool belt. Anything you need, pretty much you have, which I think is just awesome. And then divination is just... The DM, oh man, I rolled a crit. Actually, I'm sorry, that's a 4. Yeah, I saw that coming, like, this morning in my visions. Yeah, so that's not going to happen. You son of a bitch! Oh, yeah, she failed. No, she didn't. She successfully grapples, because I'm going to make that a 19. I had this premonition where she really got a hold of him right around the neck in a chokehold. You know, so I like the divination because you can basically predict and control what's going to happen. And there's nothing more enjoyable than pissing off the DM. Right, Brandon?
Yeah. He told me, he's like, hey, you're going to do the campaign. Oh, that'll be great. I'm going to fuck with you the whole way. Oh, goody. Who's that from?
What?
That question?
Grim Reaper.
Grim Reaper. I have no idea who that is.
Oh, that was the same question I had.
Yeah.
Yep.
You want to ask that one, babe?
From Jack Ripper. In your opinion, what are some features that would be on the perfect gaming table?
A refrigerator.
Hookers to kill. Jack the Ripper.
I don't think he killed hookers, did he?
Yeah, that's
it was hookers?
Did. Yeah.
What it really was, it was some rich noble guy who got him pregnant and didn't want him giving birth to noble out of wedlock.
To my bastard child?
Wetlock?
Slice, slice.
Isn't that what that is? When
wedlock?
What did I say?
Wetlock?
Well, whatever.
Giggity.
Wedlock. anyways, I honestly... I think a refrigerator, because I hate getting up to go get a beverage
Why
in the middle of a game.
Why would it be on your table, though?
You get a little tiny one, like it attached to the bottom. I have weird dreams.
And if you can afford it, putting... we were going to do this at one point, and then we're like, nope, that costs too much money. So if you have the money, making a gaming table with a giant-ass monitor on it, especially if you're a map lover.
Absolutely. Those things are awesome.
There's some people out there that got like a Kickstarter going on where they have animated maps.
Yeah.
Where they got boats and you can see the wind and water moving. It looks awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty dope as hell. Oh, you know what else would be really good? Actual comfortable chairs. Yeah. I don't think any game I've ever been has ever had comfortable chairs. I get one because I brought a computer chair in, but like you should see the hard-ass rock chairs that... My players have to sit in.
Yeah, I'm sitting in one right now.
How's your ass feel?
Hey.
Not great.
You a bitch. Giving us these lame ass chairs. And only like 2 of them are padded.
That's funny.
Ooh, that sounds cool.
What's that?
A soda gun attached to your table.
A soda gun?
Yeah.
Like just give everyone a shot in the mouth?
It's a tap.
Oh.
Open wide. Bang!
I was thinking like a squirt gun for some reason. No. Open up like, wide, Brandon.
No, like at a bar, they push a button.
Yeah, I get you. That would be really cool. I do agree with the TV. I think that's really cool in a way to digitalize your game, and it makes your DM life a million times easier. You know how easy it is to clean up when everything is on a digital screen? I did that for a while with a projector.
Honey?
It was fantastic.
Is it easy to clean up when you get something on your digital screen?
That's a splooge reference.
What's all over your monitor?
Which is funny. I think that's a perfect segue into the next question from Cody Cook.
I do have one more thing on that.
What's that?
The perfect thing to bring to the table? More space.
Oh, friends.
And friends. Yeah, that's good. But yeah, space is so limited.
A bigger table.
Lots of places. Yeah.
If you could just put a bigger table on your regular table. What? It says, what would be on the perfect gaming table?
Another gaming table.
Double deckers?
And Troy says.
Troy is asking for the impossible. Players who show up on time. Or at all. Wizard Cadia says a syringe. For shots. Okay, fair enough. So Cody Cook sent this email in. It says, the idea is a little more mature or immature, but it's based off a flaw a friend had in a previous campaign. Extreme erectile dysfunction. What the fuck? Basically, it's a catch-22 when the character is hit with a non-magical attacking nuts. Hey, Justin, why did this never make it into the show? I can't imagine why. Oh, my God. So you just got to scream every time you hit. Oh.
He hits you for 12 damage.
He gets off on pain. Oh, my God. That shit's hilarious. Oh, this one's interesting. From Chris Brown,
really?
Who likes to run it.
And likes it, to
beat
it.
You beat me to it. Ah, beat me. Oh my God.
It's not that funny.
You beat me to it. He beat her before she run it. That's so such a sad story. I recently found your podcast and started listening to them in order. First, I must say I really enjoy the information you provide. As very few DM, only
as a very new DM,
I caught my mistake. As a very new DM, only a month and a single session under my belt so far, the tips have gotten me thinking about what I would like to do. However, I am not a fan of the player tips approach. Each player tip seems to be about don't be a dick, which is a fair enough message, but the tips actually have little or nothing to do with being a dick in the traditional definition of the word. The structure of player tip, don't be a dick, you can avoid dickitude by, insert player tip here, is a needless diversion from that comes across as an excuse to call players dicks. Instead, I would recommend just skipping the dick comment altogether. I'm sure it can come up in conversation as a good rule of thumb for everyone. I've heard the same thing on video game podcasts for years. The player tips are actually very good player tips in and of themselves. Anyway, sorry for the very long email, and that amounts to my personal opinion, which only counts as such. Keep up the otherwise great show. You are entirely wrong, Chris. Our tips are about don't be a dick. And they're going to remain that way. Do you know why? Because you sent this to me back in 2017, and I still don't give a fuck.
I think you just didn't avoid dickitude.
Nope.
Just now.
Not
you
at all.
Didn't avoid it.
Nope. Players are actual dicks, and we like
to
help
them
be better.
I mean, Chris Brown is kind of a dick.
Yeah, see? So, stop beating your wife. Or ex-wife.
They weren't even married,
were they? Just some random chick you laid. Wow, that's fun.
Wizard King is Chris learns about creative criticism.
No,
you shouldn't be mean to your listeners. You need them.
I'm getting to it. In all seriousness, though, the term don't be a dick was meant to just be a funny catchphrase into the player tip segment thing. Generally what it means is you can do things to better yourself, and that's all we were going for.
Everyone should just try and be a little bit better of a person today than they were yesterday.
That sounds like a lot of work. Let's see what else we got on here. Actually, I think there's this one I want to go through. Alicia, do you want to read this one?
Not hate mail.
This is from Brian White, and the subject is not hate mail. You guys are awesome. I recently started playing D&D, and we started out with all brand new to the game players. I had listened to some Real Play podcasts and was hooked. Some friends and I got lost in the mines of
Fendelver,
got about halfway through, and our DM didn't have the time in his schedule to prep. I took over as DM, but on a homebrew. I had no idea what I was doing, so I got the DM guide, player's handbook, and monster manual and went at it. Long story short, I got stuck. What do I do? What happens now? That is when I found Crit Academy. I can't say that next part.
Holy fucking hell!
You guys helped me so much. The podcast is amazing, and you guys are funny as a halfling wielding a great axe. Thank you for keeping up the wonderful work. Did you pick that one for me because you knew it had bad words
Thank
in
you,
it?
Brian.
I didn't actually notice that because I just read through it. We're glad we can help you, Brian. Hopefully you're kicking lots of ass and taking names, man. Brandon, you want to take this one here?
Tater says, did all these emails include $5?
Not a single fucking one.
Then why
nobody listened?
One?
I know, right? That's why they're not on. Haven't been on the show.
I thought only the hate mail had to include that.
Well, that just
yeah,
guarantees
I guess
that
some of these were complaints, but
yeah,
you know.
Some of them yeah. are. See, I didn't put just stuff that's good. There's plenty of options.
Talking about Blue Eyes here.
Alex.
Alex Sholin. Alex Sholin, do you have a least favorite rule or mechanic in a tabletop game?
Yes. Old D&D grapple. Sucks. It's horrible. It needs its own goddamn book. Do you remember grapple, Troy? Is it as horrible as I remember? He's nodding yes. Yes, it's horrible. Grappling was horrible. Do you know what I love about 5th edition? I love grappling. You know why? Because I don't need to read an entire book. It's literally like a paragraph.
Because you like to really upset DMs that are old school?
Yeah. Oh, they try to break my grappling. I'm just like, you bitch. That's not how that works.
You've abandoned many games.
Yeah.
Because the DMs wouldn't let you grapple with 5e rules.
Yeah, because it's overly complicated in all the other ones, so, and it was unnecessary. You know what grappling does? It stops you. That makes sense. Doesn't tell you how it stops you. I could be hugging your leg like children grabbing onto their dad. I could be jumping onto the back of your neck and swinging, you know, wildly. I could just be holding your hand gently like a lover. In all respects, you still just don't and move. What about you, Brandon?
Not really. I mean, I know like the old school DMs, they get pissed off when you start trying to grapple or something like that, or you're trying to mess with the rule system a little bit. But as a DM, if the player is doing something that's going to greatly affect my creatures that's trying to kill them, I don't care.
No.
It's made for them to have fun. I'm not actively trying to kill them unless they make a mistake. Then that's their fault.
Yeah. So, that's a really good one. I think... Do we want to do...
winner down there?
Yeah, I do. Do we want to do one more?
I don't know, do we?
Might be able to do one more. Let's go back up to any of the ones.
How about Jonathan Tuff? Jonathan Tuff. Hey, guys. Love the show. Do you guys have a favorite house rule?
Yes, I do. Do you?
Yeah.
I think maybe he wants us to tell him.
That would be more entertaining.
Is that what he's asking?
I think so. What is your favorite house rule?
Critical hits.
Well, that's funny. Was he gone when I was talking about the critical hits? Why don't you tell us what your favorite house rule is, specifically?
I think that's when he got up and left for a minute.
Yeah, I do.
Say, as far as I know, our house rule is when someone gets a critical hit, it does max damage, and then we re-roll that damage
yes.
and add it on top.
That's a good one. That's a happy adjustment, yes. Honestly, my favorite house rule that I run is when I track player HP. I love that because I feel like it leads to a more immersive game.
You mean they don't track their own HP, you track it for them?
I track it for them, and then I use
So do they
descriptions.
Know what it is?
No.
Yeah. It's behind the
Not
screen.
Until they're dead.
That way, it's like, oh, how bad...
Then they know it's zero.
It's like, how bad do I look? If a fly lands on your eye, you're going to die.
Well, it's not that. It's you know, describing a wound as... You take 6 inches of the rapier right through the gut, and blood starts just pouring out. You know that is a bad wound. It doesn't matter what your hit points are. If it does one damage and you got 200 hit points, they nick your armor. You know what I mean? It's just more immersive than saying you take 1 point of damage. Or, you know, and that's my opinion, and that's not with everyone. And I actually got 2. I love that I roll initiative before and after combat. I love the transition. So it makes a seamless transition from roleplay to combat. Those are the 2 that I really like. So
mine is that you let my donkey talk.
Yeah. She had the find familiar spell, and I let it talk.
I was gonna say,
benevolent deity.
That's a good one. The whole rolling of initiative. Yeah,
like that?
Before and after.
Yeah.
Like when a fight's done, he'll have us re-roll so that when the next fight comes, we don't know when it's actually going to happen.
Right. It's not a roll initiative. You're now in combat.
It's like, that's the big giveaway. It's like, roll initiative. Oh, boy, we're going to fight.
Because I found that it leads to less obvious combat is the best solution here, except for when Troy's involved. Troy's like, I don't like that guy. I'm going to stab him. But for the most part, I find it has opened up more options. So, see you later, Tater.
My Tate.
So I think that'll do it for our show today. Before we close out, we have one more gift to give away. Compliments of Jeff Stevens.
A small village, empty of villages except for one boy, found sitting and weeping next to a jester's pageant wagon. The boy explains that the villagers, including his family, followed a jester into the wagon and never came out. What madness could the adventurers face? Can they save the villagers? Or will they go mad trying? Can you survive the madhouse of Tasha's Kiss?
Yes, if you have not run this adventure, it is effing amazing. He has given me Happy Jack's Funhouse, and I've been reading it, and I'm super excited for it to release so I can run it for people. Oh my god, it's so awesome.
Chuckles, this fail all around.
Yeah, it's just not a good day.
Find a thing, my pad is dead, I can't do anything.
Yeah, it's because all the plugs are plugged into everything.
The computers are sucking up all
you should
energy.
Have seen me running around unhooking shit earlier. Who's our winner today, Alicia?
ZRockW13.
Congratulations, ZRockW13. If you enjoy the adventure, please let Jeff Steven know. Tell him we sent you. That's always nice. Yes, but that Happy Jack's Funhouse is going to be so awesome. I think you guys are really going to love it. Please.
Yeah, I was a little pissed off.
Do you wanna help close us out?
Okay.
Please join us on our next episode where we'll be discussing the expanded monster manual. Brandon will not be joining us next week. So.
I will not.
He's got adulting and stuff to do. So hopefully Ian will be back. Otherwise, it'll just be me and it'll be not an interesting show.
Then you'd have to have me back, but I don't know anything about Monster Manual.
And you probably don't want to ever come back after this experience.
You know. If you have any feedback, unearth tips and tricks, or topics you would like us to discuss, please send them to us. You can email them to us at critacademy@gmail.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at Crit Academy.
We hope you've enjoyed your experience here at the Crit Academy. If you did, you can help others find the show. Justin, move your damn cursor.
Sorry.
Fuck. This episode is all sorts of fuckered up.
Oh, God.
If you did, you can help others find the show by leaving a hopefully 5-star review on iTunes or platform of your choice. Or just send us a message telling us how much you enjoy the show. Or not.
Also, be sure to give us a like and a share.
If you'd like to support the show, like New York Tater and Chuckles and One Little Spark and Troy and all of our awesome, awesome fans who support the show on Patreon, head on over to patreon.com/CritAcademy and become a patron. It's a tier-based reward system, and you can pick a price range that, you know, meets your pocketbook, and you get different, you get some fancy rewards based on the different tiers. So
free find, stuff yeah. and access to their lives.
Yeah, and find something. Yeah, find it's some not stuff. Free, but find some stuff that you like. We include complimentary copies of some of our content and all that jazz. You can play test some of our material. You can kick it with us in a monthly hangout where basically Tater just insults us for an hour. That's pretty fun.
That's pretty much all it is. Every month.
Or you can just purchase one of our DMs Guild products. Head on over to CritAcademy.com. You'll find the link there. Or if you're in Twitch right now and you got the little panels below, there's a button there. We've got lots of great 5-star and best-selling content. So definitely check it out. I think Brandon also does commissions. You can do he does full color body art and shoulder line art.
Yes,
can...
I do, because I spent 4.5 hours yesterday doing one for Chuckles and One Little Spark, and it's not even done being inked yet.
Yeah, it looked really good though. It's very dope. It's like got the DM in the background with his hands and like strings coming from it, and then it's got pictures of the players, then their characters, and the strings are all coming from his hand like a yeah. It's very cool. Make sure to subscribe to our show at CritAcademy.com, follow us on twitch.tv/CritAcademy, and subscribe on YouTube so we can help you on your future adventures, as well as be entered to win cool prizes each and every single week. Make sure to follow our fellowship member. Make sure to check out our fellowship members there as well. A shout out to CritAcademy.
Shout out to yourself.
We're awesome. Shout out to Gabe and Jeff over at Interparty Conflict. Those guys every week answer your questions, and they do a phenomenal job without all the shit talking that we do.
They pretty much did the same thing we did today.
They're more professional?
Yeah. Yeah. Just straight up.
That's probably not hard to do.
We don't care.
I don't give a fuck. Also, check out D&D Character Labs. Every week, they make very well-developed characters and then argue whose baby is better, like a couple of real-life battle bards. Also, check out Brute Force and Ignorance. They do an actual play podcast, the only one on the Crit Nation Fellowship, and are absolutely hilarious, so check them out. I am your host, Justin.
I'm your co-host, Brandon.
And I'm your special guest, the God Queen Alicia.